Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's turn over to the letter of Jude. Read a little scripture here, possibly. If the Lord allows us to comment, we will. If not, we'll read some scripture and close the service. Amen. The Lord is rich, powerful, pure, and good. I want to be numbered with Him, in Him, through Him. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I hope I fulfill every one of those things there. The called, the preserved, and the sanctified. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Are you contending tonight, brothers and sisters? For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance through, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Something to think about, saving them and then turning around destroying them. See, we're trying to find the mind of God, the action of God, and how our God truly is. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And to some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Awesome reading, isn't it? I love the Word of God, brothers and sisters. The Word's anointed. You know that? This Word is anointed. We read this Word, and there is such a power and such an anointing with this Word. I honestly feel in my spirit that, I know you've heard me say this at times past and preach for 2 hours, but I honestly feel that I could have a stand up and say a closing prayer and say, we've been in the house of God tonight. Amen. Brothers and sisters, who was this scripture for tonight? It was for me. The Bible said, what you say to one, you say to all. And brothers and sisters, you know, we could read scriptures like this and we could look across the aisles, or we could look behind, or we could look in front, or we could say this and that and say, man, I thank God I'm not that way. I could thank God I'm not like this whatsoever. But the Bible said all men's hearts are fashioned alike, brothers and sisters. And these things that are addressed right here are things that we deal with on a daily basis in our life. Things that we have to deal with, brothers and sisters, and some don't make efforts to deal with these things, and others take and make effort to mortify them on a daily basis and to keep them buried, to keep them dead, to keep them killed out, to keep them away from them because they defile, they destroy, they kill. You know, when we read the examples of the Lord, you know, we could go back and think of Sodom and Gomorrah, how the Lord sends ministers there to deliver, angels even, to deliver, to set free. You know, we read stories of such and think of these angels, and that these men were wanting to have their way with the angels, and the brother says, hey, take my daughters. I got daughters here that are virgins. Take my daughters and have your way with them, but don't touch God's things here. You know, can you imagine wanting to make such a sacrifice as that? But when we read stories of such and we think of how God operated, how God moved, and the things that God did to save a people, and then we look at the day and the hour and the generation that we're in today, and I'm telling you, it's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, brothers and sisters. Sodom and Gomorrah was a large group of people. It was a number of people with wickedness and wretchedness and perversion and filth. The whole city was corrupt. But then yet I look at today with the widespread technology of the computer age and computer era and everything's at everybody's fingertips at a glance, at a moment. Just type it in, here it is, you got it in your face. It doesn't matter. Good things, virtuous things, bad things, ungodly things, unvirtuous things. I wish that that internet was just a tool of virtue, a tool of righteousness. I was so amazed when I pulled up a letter from Tertullian from 110 AD that wasn't recorded in this Bible, in these scriptures. And it was a letter that he wrote over to Ephesus. And he was exhorting them in godliness and holiness. He was dealing with women wearing makeup in 110 AD. I thought this was a problem we had in our day and hour. And he was rebuking them and said, this came out of Egypt. He said, this came out of Egypt. And if you go back and you look and you know what come out of Egypt, you wouldn't want any part of that. But brothers and sisters, when I think back and I look at the examples that are written, if I go back over and read in Hebrews the examples, and the Bible says these things have been put here for examples to us, to explain and to show us how God is. And we look at these things, where is the fear of God in our hearts, in our lives? And we think, well, you know, you're talking like we live out in the world, and we're in the world, we're frolicking, we drink, we smoke, we snort. We're talking like, no, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Our God has got such an expectation of us in a love affair with Him, in a relationship with Him. Our God has such a desire for us to commune, to fellowship, to love. When we find this love relationship with Him, you know, I've tried to use poor examples, you know, when a man and woman fall in love, they want to be on the phone together, they want to talk together, they want to be with each other all the time. You know, and you think, well, that's a good expression. It's so far shy of what our love and relationship should be with God. He is the Spirit of love. We won't even know or understand love lest we have His Spirit. Otherwise, we're just moved with infatuation. Many times we're moved through fleshly desires and fleshly lust, and we never even come into the realms or the grips of love. You've heard me say that we use love so loosely in the English language especially, but in all we use love so loosely. You know, oh, I love this and I love that, and I love fast cars, I love airplanes, I love motorcycles, you know, I love this, I love that. And then when we think, I love God, can you compare your love to God with an airplane or a motorcycle? Or a dog, or something as such. We have fleshly desires, fleshly lust. And we so many times interpret that as a love. And the love of God is so different. See, the love of God has been perverted, brothers and sisters. And where it's been perverted from, what we call the sacred desk. And let me explain myself here for make sure that we're clear and understand. I should say the pulpits of the world is where the love has been perverted. You see, brothers and sisters, let me explain some voices to you right now. You know, we could talk about schizophrenia for a minute. And the guy, one says, well, you're schizophrenic. You know, and says, oh, well, I want to go north. Another one says south, and you got yourself in a wilderness, not knowing which way you're going to go. You see, people deal with schizophrenia, but see, I'm talking about voices. I'm talking about there's a voice of God that is speaking to us on a continuous basis, but sometimes we don't yield, we don't listen, and we've got other voices that we've turned on and turned up, and then we do not hear the voice of God when He speaks. We've got to learn to listen to the voice of God. When we speak of voices, we speak of speaking, we speak of talking, we need to learn to listen. I use the term schizophrenia. People think that the voice of the devil is going to talk to you like this. Hey, let's go get a drink. Hey, let's go get a smoke. Let's smoke a joint. Let's snort this. Let's smoke this. That's what they think the devil sounds like and talks like. Let me tell you what the devil talks like. Now listen closely. Now this is what the devil speaks like. God loves you. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish and have everlasting life. This is how He speaks. Now listen to me. He says, if and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, but Brother Rob, that's the Word of God. Don't you know that Satan, when he speaks to deceive, he speaks God's Word? Satan will come to you and say, you're all right with God. God loves you. God died for you. He didn't die in vain. God shed His blood for you on the cross of Calvary. Don't you know He shed His blood for you? He knew you was no good, and He knew you was without, and He died for you. He made you pure. He made you clean. He made you holy. He made you godly. He put your name down in the book of life. That sounds like preaching, Brother Rob. It sounds like exhortation from the Word of God. I'm trying to teach you how He speaks. He speaks God's Word. He's a master. He knows this Bible better than most theologians. He's been using it for years and years. And He quotes this Word verbatim to get you to listen and think that you're hearing God. And then He's going to lead you astray. Don't you know how He spoke to Eve? He said, oh, you know, this is good. It's pleasing to the eye. Oh, surely God wouldn't do this. Surely you won't die. Isn't that what He said? See, He's a deceiver. He's the master of deception. The familiar spirit. The Bible said similar spirits. They're so familiar to the Word. So similar to the Word. The Bible said it would deceive the very elect. If it were possible. See, God's elect can't be deceived. But are you God's elect? Have you made your calling and your election sure? Are you truly God's elect? Have you truly learned to discern the voice of God? You see, preachers so many times are led astray because they say, oh, I know I'm called to preach. It's been confirmed. I know I'm called to preach. I went to college. I know I'm called to preach because I've studied and I've done this. You know, I've called because I preached over here and this man was healed and this man was saved. I know I'm called. So then they hear something say, go hither. Go yonder. Go over here. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. And there go. And they weren't led by the Spirit of God. I've had so many opportunities and so many doors opened to go preach and didn't go because I didn't find the mind of the Lord. You got to find the voice of God, brothers and sisters. You got to find the mind of the Lord. And Satan is there. And if you learn to differentiate between the mind of God and the voice of God and the voice of Satan, the sheep and the goats sound a lot alike. You know, but a shepherd's ear is trained and he would know the difference. But brothers and sisters, do you know the difference? The Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. But then yet there's such a mass multitude that are following strange voices. You see, brothers and sisters, you know how to know that you've heard the certain sound versus the uncertain sound? There is an uncertain sound, brothers and sisters. We ministered a message just the other day about that, didn't we? And so many people hear an uncertain sound. and they follow thereafter. Brothers and sisters, I have to preach like this for a reason. I would like to encourage you in the gospel, encourage you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you all to come into the house of God and say, praise God, hallelujah, man. We're all blood-bought, born again, children of God. Jesus died and shed his blood for us. Put her name down in the book of life, amen. And I believe this. But brothers and sisters, we're in a day and hour of gross darkness, and the master of deception has moved in such a way. He's got his hands and his claws into the fabric of this nation and this world. He's the God of this world. And you see, if you had eyes to see, if your eyes were open and you could truly see beyond the veil and understand what spirits are manipulating people, you see, you would be different in your life than what you are. This is why sometimes the preacher seems to be alarmed, or because I have a fear for souls, a concern for the lost, a concern for people. You know, I'm called to win souls and I love people. I preach and people think, man, you're mad, you hate, or you're angry, or whatever. I'm angry with the devil. I'm tired of seeing him take people and drag them into the pits of eternal damnation. The Bible said you ran the race well, but what's hindered you? Oh, but we done this good deed, and we done this good deed, and we done this good deed, and we done this good deed. Who cares? I worked with a great television evangelist on the West Coast. You know, and you think, well, how do you merchandise the poor? And this man was on television and visiting all around and going to these big places and different things. He would go off into these churches and say, well, look, I'm going to teach you how to do street ministry to help the needy. But it's going to cost you $50 a head to go through this course and this class. And every time he'd get you in the class and taking up offering, and he's selling his books and doing this and that. And he would train him to go out and do a soup kitchen and do something to help these needy street people. For he could feed a dope addict for a day and give him a blanket to keep warm while he takes his government money and goes gets him another fix. You see, that's not what it's all about. We reach out to street people, brothers and sisters. We've brought them into our homes. We've taken them in. I know you, brother, could testify to that. I took one in my home for 3 months in his gratitude. He went and took a key to Brother Troy's car, tore up some stuff around our home, took a knife to the furniture that you, brother, gave him, and set him up in a home, and they took a knife and slashed up all the furnishings and things. I've taken street people in. Sometimes you get people sit back and look at you, find fault, and do this and that. Brothers and sisters, I know how to reach out. I've worked in the soup kitchens right here in this triad and down in Lexington. I've been down here at the men's shelter and worked and labored down there and preached. I've analyzed what their ministries is all about and what they're doing. Thank God they're doing it. If they're preaching Jesus for conjugacy, well, so be it. But the Lord separated me from some of those things for reasons. Amen. But I still have a desire and a heart after the lost and after the needy. We're talking, brothers and sisters, about uncertain sounds. We read these scriptures right here, the complete book of Jude tonight. And we look at it and we see strong exhortation. And we see that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And we speak about Sodom and Gomorrah here in America's in worse condition. Everything that's ungodly, everything that's unclean, they're esteeming it and lifting it up. And now it's done more than just that. It's infiltrating everything. Our government is legalizing same-sex marriages. It's happening in California. It's happening in Massachusetts. Brothers and sisters, if you can't see the great and late hour that we're in because of these things happening within the government and within the powers of this country, then you're just simply being seared over and you're not seeing how frightening of a day and hour that we're truly in. You should have the fear of God. If this great God that we put all of our faith and all of our trust and all of our hope in to grant us eternal life, this great God that we're trusting him, and he took and destroyed millions of people because of the condition that they was in. And then we look and we're in a nation that's in the same ungodly condition that they were in. And worse, should we have fear? What should we do? Well, brothers and sisters, we should have a fear of God which brings forth wisdom, and wisdom brings forth righteousness and holiness and godliness in our lives. If you thought for sure tomorrow was the last day, would you live it differently than you did today? I'm sure y'all would. I'm sure I would probably do something maybe a little different myself. Maybe you wouldn't have found time to get out of bed, maybe just roll over and got on knees. When is your last day? They've been saying it's the end, it's the end, it's the end. Well, I can tell you it's a lot closer when you started hearing it. And some of them have already found it. Some have already meant it, found their end. Brothers and sisters, when we consider and we examine and we look, how sure are we that we hear the voice of God? How sure are we that when he's telling us that everything's okay, that it's really okay? How sure are you that you're hearing God when Satan quotes the word verbatim? He's probably one of the most magnificent preachers you've ever heard. And guess what? He doesn't just preach the word. He has demonstration and power also. Because he's learned to take advantage of the grace of God and knows that the gifts and callings are without repentance. And there could be lying signs and wonders and lying miracles even that take place because it helps strengthen his hand to convince people to come. Because people are looking for demonstration. He said, I'm afraid of you that are looking for a sign. But the Pentecostal church world has taught a sign. Oh, we know this is the sign of the Holy Ghost when we speak in tongues. I can take you to the scriptures and pretty much it would appear that I could vindicate that. Because it shows in the book of Acts that when the Holy Ghost came and it said that there was some there and they were all speaking in a language that they knew that they didn't know and the others knew and heard them praising God in their own tongue. And then it said that they, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, that they spoke in unknown tongues. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe, that they will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And it said that they'll cast out devils and that they'll speak in tongues. See, I'm not against tongue talking, brothers and sisters, but I'm against people seeking the sign of a tongue to vindicate that they have God's Spirit when there's many tongue talkers that don't have the Spirit of God. Amen. The vindication of the Spirit of God on overcoming life, walking in holiness and virtue and righteousness. That's your evidence of the infilling life of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I pray in tongues. I speak in tongues. I prophesy. I work in the gifts of God and thanks, and I praise God. But those gifts don't vindicate that you're a man of God. There's many, many people that work in the gifts. The Bible said when they stood before the Lord, they said, I cast out devils in your name. I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. I prophesied. He said, I never knew you. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. This was a man that brought forth the fruit of the ministry. The things that he told the Lord that he had done. That was the fruit, what you would call fruit of a ministry. But no, it wasn't. You know, brothers and sisters, the reason we have to exhort is there is such a deceiver, a master of deception that's so continually moving and working somewhat behind the scenes on a continuous basis. You know, well, I could come to church and everything's okay, but the Bible said when you go to the house of God, when the sons of God come to the house of God, that the devil's there also. And the thing is if you came to the house of God by yourself, the devil is there also. When Jesus went by himself up on the mount to be tempted of the devil was there. And he's going to be wherever you go. You know, we think about the positive things of the word. You know, the highest height, the deepest depth, no matter where you go, that the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no place that you can hide from. He's always there. But the devil's there also. Brothers and sisters, he's there also. Well, he's not in heaven. Well, you want me to take you over in the book of Revelations and read to you? You say, well, I know he was cast out. Was he cast out of the third or the second? And where was he cast out to? How about the first? And how about he climbed up through you sometimes, climbing up another way into the second, trying to get an opportunity to get back into the third is what he's looking for, to get back into that third. It won't happen. Because when you allow him to get up into the third with you is when you're cast out of the third and you will not have no dwelling place there. And that's eternal, brothers and sisters. And that casting out of that is eternal. That's when you reach a place that you cannot find repentance with God. Ever, ever. Don't matter if you still got breath. It don't matter. And there's people that find that. I've met them. I've been in their presence when God cut them off before. I'll tell you, that is a frightening, frightening thing. It may not be frightening to you because you've never came to the place with God that I'm speaking about. But if you've ever partook or tasted of what he truly has, amen, it would be a terrible thing to think about not having it or having that candlestick removed. I'm exhorting you in the love of God. Let's get real with God. Let's fall in love with Jesus Christ. Let's get serious with him. Let's commit our life as a living sacrifice, which is just numbered us as our reasonable service. That's just our reasonable service. You know, we can't ever come to a place that we think like, oh man, I'm great. Man, I've done this. I've gone to church. Brothers and sisters, every effort that you got is as filthy rags at your very best righteousness. I'm speaking to you the way the Word of God does. Oh, but God loves me so much, you know, and I'm this and that. I understand that. I know that he loves me also, and I know what he's done for me. But brothers and sisters, we have got to learn to differentiate. What part of you does he love? What part of you does he hate? Well, he doesn't hate any of me. Well, he says he's angry with the wicked and pursues them off the face of the earth. And Jacob he loved and Esau he hated. I had an individual one time, you know, said, oh, no, God doesn't hate. He's the spirit of love. He doesn't hate. And I said, well, you better get your Bible and read it then. God loves you, brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you in the gospel. He loves you so much that he did give his only begotten son. He loved you so much that he gave a life there to be sacrificed and brutally killed for you. Is that it then? Is that finished? Is it said and done? And I said, yea and amen. It's said and done. He sealed you in and put your name in the book of life. And there ain't no devil of hell or nothing could pluck you out of the hand of God. You say, well, I like this kind of preaching a lot better than what you was talking about a minute ago. You know, I like to hear that. You know, that I'm a son of God, that I'm eternal, I'm living forever, that Jesus paid the price for me. Yes, he did. He really did. But are you sure that you're his elect? I can speak to you as God's elect and speak to you like that. But are you sure you're his elect? And how do we differentiate between God's elect and ones that aren't elect? How do we predestinate or know that we're predestinated or not predestinated when the Bible said, make your calling and your election sure? And if I am predestined into him or if I'm not, how would I know? It's very simple. That's why exhortation comes. Because, brothers and sisters, when you're predestined in Christ, it's because he saw through the foreknowledge of God, because he's all-knowing, and he first saw his labors of what he did for you, but he saw that you received the faith to believe what he done. You see, the Bible said, without faith you will not see God or know him. So there must be faith. Now the thing is, when we say, okay, then without faith, we'll never know God. So now we have a condition with the elect, right? Can we come to this kind of an understanding? We have a condition now to be God's elect. So if we're God's elect, that means we're going to have something, and it's called faith. Okay. Now, so I could say, well, I could look at my life then and see if I have faith. You say, well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the thing is I know I got faith because I go to church and I hear, but Jesus had him sitting before him. He's God. And he's speaking to them and he said, you have ears, but you hear not. But faith comes by hearing. So because you sit in church, you say, I got faith. Do you have faith? Do you hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the church? That's what the Bible says. So now we've got another complication. We've got church and we're hearing the preacher. But then yet the Lord said, you have ears, but you don't hear. So now we're checking to see if we have faith. Now we're checking to see if we could hear. Well, how do I know if I hear, Brother Rob? How about to see? Do you see good when it comes? The Bible said he walked amongst them and they didn't see him. He also offered an exhortation to Philip. He says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Did Philip see? We say Peter saw. The Lord said, you know, this was revealed to you, not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit. So he saw into the Spirit. Do you see in the Spirit? You could have 20/20 vision and be numbered blind. The Laodicean church, the last day church, it said that they're blind. That's what the Bible says. I got to go with this Bible. People get offended. Well, you know, you just come against this. The Bible says that the Laodicean day church is blind. And they're rich. They have no need of God. Oh, we don't need a healer, man. We got doctors, man. Got Medi-Cal, Medicare. We got welfare. You know, we got everything, man. Give me another shot. Give me another snort. Give me another pill. Whatever, man. We don't need God. We don't need a healer. Man, we got medicines. We got everything. We don't have no need of God. We're rich. America's a wealthy nation, brothers and sisters. Oh, I know people that have needs. Yeah, you take a man and miss one meal, man, he's starving to death. I've been with you. Probably heard me say, I'm about starved, man. And I think of them poor little kids eating chicken feet over in Africa. We don't know what starving is. Little bellies bloated out and their eyeballs pressing out of their head. I mean to tell you, we don't know what hunger is. Lord says fast, and you fast for a day and you think you're going to perish. Brothers and sisters, the thing is we're living in a day and hour. We know that the Laodicean church, we know the word of God is true. We know the prophecy of this word is true. We know that there's a daughters of the great whore and that they're returning back under her. We have all these things prophesied to us. If we can't look at the signs, the Bible said that they were hypocrites because they could look into the sky and see that when the sky was red at night or red in the mornings, you know, they could discern the weather, but it said they couldn't discern the sign of the time and called them hypocrites. Brothers and sisters, I know we've got the Spirit of God and we could look at what's going on outside the walls of our church and we could look at the condition of America and the world and the nations and look at the political powers of this country. And if we can't come to the conclusion of knowing that we're in the end times, then we're just slap ignorant. I don't know if that's a strong enough word or not, but That's all I could say. The Bible said, I would not have you to be ignorant. That's what the Bible says. So, it says, I don't want you to be, wants to comfort us with these kind of words. So, brothers and sisters, we look and we could see. And we know that there is a master of deception. You know, we thought Rich Little was pretty good. He can get up here and talk like every president in the past few decades. He could come up here and talk like probably most of the movie stars, the famous ones that you know, and just have them down perfectly. But Satan is a master of that. He could speak so clearly and so plain and quote this word, sober babe, and you hear the word and you think, well, I'm hearing from God now. And all he's doing is getting you to follow his voice and lead you into deception. And you say, man, Brother Rob, that's scary sounding. You know, why would you have to, you know, preach something like that would be like that? Because I want you to be aware of the devices of the enemy. We got to get in this Bible and start reading it. Do you find the exhortations in God's word from cover to cover and see that the multiplied people that have been deceived throughout the times and followed after deceiving spirits, the Bible says, and doctrines of devils? It's not hard, brothers and sisters, to examine the word. It's not hard to see what you're listening to, if it's the word of God or not. It's not hard if you have his spirit and you're sensitive to the move in the spirit of God. But if you keep on quenching his voice out and keep on pushing him out and pushing him out when he's loving you and helping you and trying to pick you up, and you keep pushing him back because you're following after your own lustful desires and your own needs and your own wants and your own ideas, and you keep pushing him out, and then pretty soon you won't hear him no more. And then all of a sudden you got that deceiving voice of the devil saying, oh, God loves you so much. Oh, he loves you so much. He knows that nobody's perfect. My Bible doesn't say this. It says, be ye perfect, even as your master in heaven is perfect. He said he's perfected you once and for all. He made you perfect to give you a sound mind. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's given you the power of the Holy Ghost to walk beyond reproach and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. This is what God's given you. This is how you know you're God's elect, because you're an overcomer. Amen. You're walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got Satan under your foot. Amen. That's how you know you're an overcomer. Who is your father today? Do you have the spirit in you crying, Abba, Father? Is it in there, Abba, Father? Is that kind of spirit in you? The Bible says that if you yield your members to the flesh, then your father's the devil, the master of deception, the master of disguise, the father, the Bible says, of all lies. How do I know I have a spirit? How do I know if I've been born again? How do I know if my name's in the book of life? How would I know? Because you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror, the Bible says. You know, we make allowances for little children. You know, we make allowances for little babies in Christ. I had a man that had been preaching the gospel, and he stands eyeball to eyeball with me and says, well, you know, I'm just a baby. That's real convenient. He wants you to esteem him as a great man of authority, you know, when he's talking about the word of God, but when he's stumbling and staggering, I'm just a baby. You know, I poured my heart out with the man. I wept tears for the man's soul. I poured my heart out as he trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under his feet, as he rend me and spoke all manner of evil and came into this church and tried to destroy it and tried to pull people away and sowed strife and discord, something that God hates more than anything. I was still there pleading with him and pouring my heart out to the man. But then yet he wants to be numbered as a baby when he was in his failures, as he was out destroying churches. And I numbered the churches. I said, you was in this church and it went through a split. You was in this church and you destroyed it. And you was in this church. And I said, you're going to have to get delivered from that. And as I was pouring my heart out, he was trying to destroy this one. And you say, man, he was a nice guy. He was a good man. No, it was Satan that came in as unawares, brothers and sisters. Go back and read Jude again. And it's very clear and speaks very clear how these things work. But we get deceived by their words and by the flattering of their words. And because they could preach and because they seem to carry something about them. But brothers and sisters, be not deceived, amen. Get full of the Holy Ghost and get the discernment of the Spirit of God. I was reaching out and been trying to win this man's soul for 15 years and been working diligently trying to win his soul. And when he came here, I went to another brother in his church. I said, brother, you don't need to even fellowship this man. You need to stay away from him because you got the same spirit and you guys will have problems. And they did. And they both got together and tried to destroy us. You see, and we call it deception, deceiving spirits. Amen. But they don't take heed to what they hear. You see, brothers and sisters, we got to start taking heed to the word. We need to get out of these religious games. Oh, praise God, I'm a Christian. I said the sinner's prayer. I done something good last week. I done something good last month. I done something good. Who cares? You're not going to purchase your way in. But if you don't have works, you won't have faith. Well, Brother Rob, I understand that. And see, because I have faith, I got to have works. So this is why I do those things. You see, brothers and sisters, we could have works without faith, but you won't have faith without works. I know you've heard me say that before. I hope you can understand that. You see, you could talk in tongues without the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? The thing is, brothers and sisters, when you truly have God's Spirit, you'll have repentance and you've turned. But there was people that the Spirit will rain on. They'll have the rain of the Spirit, but they won't have the Spirit from within. There's a difference. There's a difference between the rain, brothers and sisters, and this life force, living force coming from within. There's a difference. Some people can't discern the difference. I could share so many things with you to vindicate what I'm saying there, but let me keep some things just as simple as I can. I'm a soul winner, brothers and sisters. I love every single individual in the sound of my voice. I love you and I appreciate you. I preach like this because I love you. I preach like this because I see that within this gross darkness that we're supposed to be light. We are the children of light. If you are the elect of God, you're light. And what does light do, brothers and sisters? Light eradicates darkness. And if you're not eradicating darkness, that means there's no light. You cannot go into a dark room and it remain dark when you're a light. And the thing is that people will reflect light. When you get around people that are light and you reflect light when you're around them, you're just mere reflector, but you're not a projector of light. But when you are a projector of light, that means that the light of Jesus Christ is in you. The Bible said light being formed in darkness. Your image is darkness. This light in you is Christ, the Spirit of life. Amen? Not the breath of life, the Spirit of life. And when it's in you, it emanates a light and it'll eradicate the darkness of this outer garment of iniquity, of carnality. It'll eradicate that and push it away. But when you find yourself with the saints of God and you're reflecting the light, you speak like them, you talk like them, you walk like them and act like them, you're just mere reflecting the light. You are not the light. But when you get away from the saints of God and you go to perilous ways or lasciviousness or to fornication and idolatry and you go to drunkenness and evil surmising and witchcraft and bitterness and hatred and anger and malice and evil surmising, all those things, then you're not reflecting the light. That is darkness. That's the fruit of darkness. And you've got to conquer that. The Bible says the elect of God are more than conquerors. That means we put those things under our feet. That means we're powerful. I want to see a church powerful, man. I want to see people, man, that don't have the clutches of Satan dragged into their flesh and pulling them down. But when you find the fruit of the flesh manifesting in your life, that's darkness. And we can overcome darkness with light. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to press our way into the kingdom. Oh, but Jesus died for me. And, you know, I said the sinner's prayer back in 1919. The Bible says that we're good soldiers for Christ. The Bible teaches us about the armor of God. How many of you taken your little babies and put armor on them? Think about it. You know, you see some little kid, you know, 2 years old, man, dragging a big old shield, man, a sword out this hand, a helmet's got his head hanging down, you know, and it don't fit, does it? But brothers and sisters, we have grown up in the Lord. We've sat in sound doctrine. We are mature in Christ, amen? We're good soldiers for Christ. The Bible said we keep ourselves unspotted from the affairs of this world. So we're good soldiers for Christ. We got the shield of faith. We got the sword of the Spirit. You know, we got the helmet of salvation. Amen? Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, we've got these things because we're soldiers. We're not sissies and wimps. Why did he give us weapons, brothers and sisters? I could preach to you from different dimensions. I could talk about the works of Christ, that everything's finished and completed in Him. That we're saved by grace, not by works, that no man can boast. And I could go down the trails and tell you about all the wonderful things that He's done for us. But then yet, as He's did all of these things for us, and He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life, and He's made us more than conquerors, then why did He give us the weapons of warfare? And why did He teach us to beware of the deceptive powers of the enemy and Satan? Why is this Word of God full of exhortation of people being deceived and led away? Why is it? He says you ran the race well, but what's hindered you? Why is it, brothers and sisters? Are these other exhortations in there? If we're just going to get on board and say, well, you know, praise God, I've heard about Jesus and I accepted him. He's my Savior. Good enough for me. And there's a whole world like that. I've had people don't even know their Bible want to stand up face to face and argue with you. I got people that hear you preach and pour your heart out by the Spirit of God and turn and mock you. And the Bible said, God is not mocked. And they mock you. They mock holiness and make it lightly esteem you the way you live. And the things that you do and lightly esteem it. And they're bringing the judgments of the living God down on them. And the fire from hell is going to consume it. I've already seen it in vision. I've seen their soul burning in hell. And you pour your heart out. And they lightly esteem and mock you. Who cares? Oh, it's okay, man. Praise God. God's so good. I know what's happening in the spirit. I'm not blind. We better start living right. We better start getting on board with God because the judgments of the living God are upon us. Amen. They're here. This is the house of God and judgment begins in God's house. Amen. And we better start getting on our knees and saying, God, have mercy on me. Amen. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and the power of the living God. Let me get myself out of the world and get the clutches of Satan out of my flesh. Amen. Then I could walk and overcome in life. It's coming, brothers and sisters. It started on a motorcycle right around the corner over here a year ago. The preacher! God's elect! God's chosen! Full of the Holy Ghost! And God took him and dragged him down the road. What more is he going to do to you? He took his own son! He took his own son and beat him with a whip of cat o' nine tails until every drop of blood came out of his body and rammed the thorns over his head and ripped his skull. It wasn't a pretty picture like the Catholic Church paints. It ripped his skull right down to the bone with them thorns and the blood ran. He said, this is what I've done to my own son. What more do you think I'm going to do to you? The ungodly and the sinner. That's what God says. Brothers and sisters, let's wake up. Let's get right with God. Who's following you? Who's looking at your life? Who's watching you? Are you a written epistle read and known of all men? Who's leading you? Who's guiding you? Brothers and sisters, I got the fear of the living God in my heart because I know that there's people going to hell, and if I don't cry out against it, their blood is on my hands. I got the fear of the Lord in my heart. Brothers and sisters, there's mothers sitting in here today that don't seem like they got the fear of God for their own children because of their actions and the way that they're doing before their children. Amen. And it's going to be a sad day when they don't just find their own self in hell, but they find their children chewing on them. And they'll find that they're guilty of that very thing. Boy, take heed to what the Spirit of God says. Brothers and sisters, the Bible said, don't take the grace of God and turn it to lasciviousness. Don't trample the blood of Jesus Christ under feet. The grace is not there for us to take it to the occasion of the flesh, the Bible said. It's there, brothers and sisters, that we could grow in the grace and knowledge of God, that we could put Satan under our feet. We're more than conquerors. Brothers and sisters, we got Satan under our feet. We're walking beyond reproach. We're keeping ourselves unspotted from the things of the world. That's what my Bible says. This is how you know when you're God's elect, is because you've come out of the world. Well, what do, Brother Rob? Do we just have to stay home and pray? That'd be a good place for you to start. Amen. And when you go into the world, it's for one reason and one reason only. It's to win souls and to take some of them out. That you can pull them out. You won't pull them out when you live like them, look like them, act like them, walk like them. You won't pull them out that way. It'll never happen. The only way you could do it is by living an overcoming life of godliness and holiness. Or otherwise, you're just in the deceptive powers of the enemy. America's lost. The government of America's gone. You know, people don't even watch allegories no more. This Obama, even the worldly people are saying Obama and the nation. They put together, it's an abomination. Yes, it's an abomination! The man is not right. He's not a Christian. You don't sit under the doctrine that man sent for 12 years listening to the racist hypocrisies and things that man said in and call yourself a Christian. A Christian wouldn't sit in that kind of a doctrine. He's not a Christian. And America's pushing him and pushing him because the Bible said he'll give you a leader after your own heart. America's gone. The government of America's gone. Brothers and sisters, the churches of America are gone. I'll tell you, some of the great men of God of old, if they could look and see what's happening to these denominations. God, men have feared God. These men have feared God. They poured their heart out and they made denominations after these works and got bound up with lasciviousness and idolatry and fornication. It's bad. It's bad out there. Well, don't you think there's any good out there? Yeah, it's a small flock, brothers and sisters. There's some wonderful men of God out there that truly love God. But there's a lot of hirelings out there. It's just a job. It's just an occupation. They got deacon boards leading them and guiding them and telling them what they're going to do. They got the headships over them, sending them out their doctrines. This is what we preach. This is what we believe. And it's all defiled. It's all vomit on the tables of God is what the Bible says. What do you think? You're the only one right. I'm standing before the living God. Feel like the least of all of it, brothers and sisters. And it's by the mercies and the grace. Because I pour my heart out. I love people and pour my heart out. I love people and I counsel. I love people and I talk to them and they don't hear. And they go right on into lasciviousness and idolatry. They go right on into the things of this world. And I'm thinking, God, man, what's wrong with me? Lord, don't I have a voice? God, what's wrong? And God keeps encouraging me and says, don't give up. Keep standing. Keep fighting. Keep preaching. And that's what I'm going to do as long as I got breath. Amen. But brothers and sisters, let's get right with God and let's press our way into the kingdom of God. Let's make this church a soul-winning church. Don't be mocked. Don't let them lightly esteem what you do. This is the way of God. This is what God, we need to read the Bible, what it tells us in the Bible, the way to live. We can't go with what the rest of them are doing. It's a wide, broad path to destruction. We can't get on board with them and follow after them. We're going to have to be a peculiar people. That's what the Bible said. You were peculiar. We're not supposed to look like them. We're not supposed to talk like them. We're not moved by the fashions of this world and the dress fashions of this world. We're set apart. This ain't our world. We're ambassadors from heaven in America. We're not moved by this nation and the government powers of this nation. We're no longer of this nation, brothers and sisters. That was our first birth. We're blood-bought, born-again children of the Most High God. We're King's kids, amen? Hallelujah, and we're ambassadors sent here by Him, amen, in this world. And we're not of it. We're not moved by it. It has nothing for us here, amen? We're children of the Most High God. I love you. Please take heed to the things that you hear. The Bible said, lest at any time. If you're so positive and so sure that you're okay with God, I'm going to rejoice with you because I like that kind of faith. I had a man with that kind of faith not many days back face to face with me. He said, I don't care what you say, preacher. He says, I'm going to let you know I'm born again and I'm a Christian. And he's breathing liquor on me as he was stoked up, man, drinking hard liquor. And he was stoked up on this liquor. He said, it don't matter what you say. I'm a blood-bought, born-again Christian. And he was shacked up with a woman for 2 weeks because he just got rid of the other shack up that he had. Been shacked up with her for about 2 years. Just got rid of her and had already another one. And he's shacked up with her. And he's going to stand in the preacher's face and say, it don't matter. I've got faith. I know I'm born again. And he's lost. He's deceived. He's blind. On his way to hell. But I can't say nothing to him because he already has it all worked out. Because his being seared over with a hot iron, his conscience and his mind. And the Bible said beasts don't have a conscience. We just read in the scriptures about beasts twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Make sure you're not a beast. Make sure you got a conscience and your conscience is moved by the Holy Ghost. And you say, oh God, I repent. Have mercy on me, God. Brothers and sisters, we need the mercies of a living God in our lives. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. I love you and I love the Lord. Amen. I want to see everybody in the sound of my voice. Brother Pike said, I preach to them all my brethren like they're going to hell. I don't want to see none of them go there. Brothers and sisters, let's take heed. What's happening in our lives? What's happening in our families? Are you concerned for your children? Are you concerned for your families? Are you concerned for your brothers and sisters? Are you concerned for your wives and your husbands? Why are you concerned? If you could see them with the clutches of Satan dragging them into hell. When my mother died on the operating table and she said she had this vision. Or when she left, she said she was dragged down this black dark hole. And all she could see was this light getting smaller and smaller. And was fighting and clawing and scratching everything she could to get back. Don't let that happen to you. There's a demon there with his hands around your ankles wanting to drag you into hell. is what he wants to do. Get full of the power of the Holy Ghost that you can stomp him off of you and get him away from you. Quit feeding him. Quit exercising. You know, it's like if you got an evil dog in your backyard and you're afraid it's going to hurt your children, quit feeding it when it comes around. Shoot it. If you don't got enough man in you to do that, at least throw rocks and run it off. The devil only come around when you feed. The Bible said, draw nigh unto the Lord and resist the devil and he'll flee. The only reason the devil's hanging out with you, she ain't drawn nigh unto the Lord. Amen. But you've resisted the Lord and draw nigh unto the flesh, and it's strong. But when you draw nigh unto the Lord and resist the devil, he'll flee. Amen. Let's get in love with Jesus, brothers and sisters. This life is so short and so quick. It's faster than the weaver shuttle, the Bible said, like a vapor in a mist. Don't gamble your eternity. Don't gamble your eternity for whatever this world's got for you. Nothing. I mean, it's just, you're here for a moment. A moment. A twinkle of an eye. A flash. You're here. Your natural life doesn't mean nothing when compared to eternity. Let's get on fire for God. Let's quit reasoning in ideology. Quit reasoning. I've got an idea. Well, this way I think God is. Brothers and sisters, I know my Bible. I know the way God is. He's a just God and his word is true. You're not judged because of your ideas. You're judged because of this word right here. This Bible is a completed, finished work. It's a book. Jesus hung his head at Calvary and said, it's finished. And we've got to take this word. This is the finishing, the completion. You understand that? You're not going to violate this word. The grace of God isn't for the violation of the word. The thing is the law and the prophets were unto John and the kingdom of God was preached. We say, praise God. I'm glad I'm not under the law. But you better start reading what he brought. It's a much tougher law than Moses' law. And you'll never live it in your own flesh, by your own strength, by your own merits, by your own willpower. You'll never serve God. The only way you could do it is pray and humble yourself and fall on your face before the living God and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a failure. I failed you, God. God, I failed you. Lord God, you're such an awesome God, a powerful God, a loving God. And I failed you, God. Help me, Lord God. Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost that I can walk, Lord God, above the things and the cares of this world and this life. You say, I can't hear myself praying that way. I hear myself pray that way every day. I need the mercies of a living God. I'm not in the world. I'm not in the frolics of this world, the lasciviousness of this world. I got a little wake-up call about a year ago, and I'm saying, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I need to be doing more. I'm not doing enough. It's a shame that it's going to be a year in February that I was in the foreign fields. That's a shame unto me. Amen? It's a shame. I'm trying to print some gospel, trying to get some things on rent page, trying to get some things sent forth. I need to do more. I need to get more sent out. I'm not doing enough. I can't buy my salvation. That's not what I'm doing. But I'd have a desire in my heart to do more for God because he's given me everything that pertained to life. And all I could do is give him this life as a sacrifice. And that's just my reason, sir. And I want to give him everything and give him more and give him more and give him more. And I've done nothing. And if I'm supposed to be an example, I'm standing here before you and say, God, have mercy on me because I've done nothing whatsoever at all, and I want to do more. And I say, help me, pray for me, pray for this preacher, say, God, help him, God, grant power and strength to him, give him the desires of his heart that he could do more for you. That's the way you should be praying for me. Amen. I want to do more for God. Amen. I want to be able to have a voice that I could speak and you fall under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I see that when people just go right back and they're not taking heed to the things that they hear, that's what my word says. It says, take heed to the things that you heard, lest at any time you let them slip. Brothers and sisters, eternity's a long time. This life is short and miserable and full of vexation of the spirit. It's here for a moment, then it's gone. You know, you've heard me say this. We think how big of a fool Esau was for selling his birthright for a bowl of stew. We think how foolish. But then I see men selling their birthright for nothing more than a bowl of stew. In the eyes of God, it's no more than that. Let's stand together, brothers and sisters. Pray for the preacher, amen. I want to do more for the Lord. I've offered exhortations to people and they didn't take heed. I've offered exhortation to churches, they didn't take heed. You know, and I say, well, they're wretched, they're no good. No, I say, God, why? Help me, Jesus. I want to have a voice that's heard. I want to speak with the authority and the power. See, Lord Jesus did, and people still fell away. He granted life to them, raised them up from the dead. He made the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they stood before him screaming, crucify him, crucify him. You see, man don't have much of a memory. It goes so fast. They can't remember good when they saw good come. Amen. Let's don't be that way, brothers and sisters. Let's get on fire for God. We need to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. Let's fall in love with Jesus. Let's don't fall in make-believe love with Jesus. Let's don't think about the love that we have for little puppy dogs or the love that we have for whatever. Let's really fall in love with Jesus. He's an awesome God. You need to be the bride of Christ and really fall in love with Him. And He says He's jealous over you. He's so jealous over you, He don't want to share you with this world. He says in His Word that if you even have friendship with this world. He said, if you even have friendship with this world, that you're an adulterer to Him. And the Bible said, no adulterer will inherit the kingdom of God. So if you think that Moses' laws were tough, think about the laws that the Lord Jesus spoke about. Friendship with this world is adultery in God. So brothers and sisters, don't look for favoritism. Don't look for friendship with this world or the people of this world. Do you realize that Jesus didn't pray for the people of this world? If you read the Bible, this is what He said. He said, Father, I'll pray for them that You've given me.
Amen.
That's what He said. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, who are you to find fault with God if He has one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? You understand that? I don't find fault with God. I pray for the lost. I pray that they could get their eyes open and come to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said they didn't like me, and He said they hated me, and they'll hate you also. And He said if they like you, that He's not there. You understand? Because He said when He's here, when He's living and dwelling in you, it said they hated Him first, and they'll hate you also. And it said they'll have no reason to hate you. It's like the man I spoke about earlier in the service that sliced our furniture up and stuff. All I did was love him. Put him in my home. Got him clean off of his drugs. But then he wanted to go back. And he wanted to go back to those things. You know, when you go back, the Bible said when they go back, it was to be made manifest that they was never of you. You understand that? And when he went back, I had to do something. I had to put him out. You see, brothers and sisters, there is requirements of us as Christians. It's required of us to come out of the world. It's required of us to live an overcoming godly life. It's required of us to bring forth the fruit of repentance. You see, Jesus didn't live a godly, holy life for His salvation. He lived it that others would see and know salvation, that they could find it and have it. And this is why we live an overcoming life, that we could lead others into the kingdom of God. Brothers, sisters, don't be guilty of leading people into destruction. Be careful. Satan's a deceiver. He's a master of disguise and deception. His voice speaks to you from the day you took your first breath as a child. He teached you as a little child deception. When you done wrong, He teach you to lie to mom and dad. Mom and dad didn't teach you to lie. The devil was there saying, you know, if you tell your mother you didn't do it, if you go ahead and tell your mama you didn't do it, you won't get a spanking. See, he starts out with little children. Mothers, fathers, guard over their little spirits because there's a master of deception starting to speak to them at a young age and getting them following them and listening to them. The Bible says, mama and daddy, that the rod of correction drives that spirit far from them. When you see your children doing things, don't laugh at it. Don't just lightly esteem it. It's the works of darkness, the works of the devil in that little child. And he's trying to start leading their spirit at a young age for he could take them through their whole life and that he could take their soul. You understand that? When your children lie, don't lightly esteem it. It's the devil in that little child. He's the master. He's the father of all lies, the Bible says. When your little children lie, take them, brothers and sisters, and take your belt and wear them out. That's love. You say, we've started out talking about love. We're going to finish talking about love. That's love. And when a mother or father holds that rod of correction back, I'm going to tell you by the mind of God, and this is a thus saith the Lord, you do not love your children. Because if you love them, you would be concerned for their souls. And it's these doctors and these psychologists and these psychs and all them are the ones that have taken discipline out of the homes. And that's why America is fallen. That's why the church is fallen, because discipline is left everywhere. The preachers aren't reproving and rebuking like the Bible said they're supposed to do. Amen. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They're supposed to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort. And they're not doing it no more. It's just bless me clubs. Oh, come to church. Everybody loves you. Hallelujah. Let's have a banquet. Let's cook up something. Let's eat something. Let's have a party. You know, but where's the reproof and the rebuke? If you're in a church that has no reproof and rebuke in it, run as fast as you can, because Amen. It's full of the devil.
That's right.
Now, you can't say that. I'll say it again. I don't think I need to, but I'll say it again anyway. A minister that does not reprove and rebuke is not called of God. He's of the devil. Because the Bible said, you'll know that they're called of God because they turn people from sin. And the only way you could turn people from sin is through reproof and rebuke. That's it. That's the love of God. You don't know what the love of God is. Oh, love is He just died and shed His blood. The love of God is He gave us the Holy Ghost and the power and sin. Holy Ghost-filled men. They're Holy Ghost-filled men are the only ones that could remit sin.
Amen.
You understand that?
That's right.
God ain't even going to hear your prayers when you're a sinner. If you think that you prayed some prayer called a sinner's prayer and you found God, that defies this word. He said He doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. It takes a Holy Ghost man of God to remit your sins. That's what Jesus said the last thing. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the disciples, the 11 that was there, went and done it.
Amen.
And they went and done it in the name of Jesus, because there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And that's the only name that'll remit sin. Amen. There ain't no authority in Father, and there ain't no authority in Holy Ghost, and there ain't no authority in Son. I got a Holy Ghost, and I'm a son, and I'm a father both. And you can't get baptized in the name of Rob Coons for the remission of your sin. The only name given among men is Jesus.
Amen.
And that's the way the disciples done, and that's good enough for me. Amen. And if you done it any other way, you was lied to.
That's right.
I was lied to out there in the Trinitarian churches. And they took me down to the water hole. They took me and my wife there. You know, I truly had an experience with God. God loved me and He led me. But the Bible said when you've got the Spirit of God, He'll lead you into the truth. And He led me into the truth. And I got baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sin. Amen. And I got the blinders off my eyes and got my eyes opened up. And I started seeing good when good come. And I got out of the religious vomit and ideology. Let's sing a song. Amen. I love y'all. Hallelujah. I thank you for coming out the house of God tonight. I pray and hope that I made you glad. Amen. I'm glad to be here. Amen. I hope that I made you glad. Amen. And believe me, if you savor the things that be of the flesh is the only reason you'd be mad tonight. You know that?
Amen.
If you ain't savoring the things that be of the flesh, then you'd be glad. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Go ahead, brother. You can do it this time. This is my prayer, brothers and sisters. I need Thee, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, I need You every hour. I need You every moment. I need You every day. Lord God, I can't walk through this world as an overcomer without You. Jesus, I need Your help. I need Your strength, Lord God. I need You to fill me, Lord Jesus, with the Holy Ghost. Lord God, that I could walk beyond reproach, that I could keep myself unspotted from the world. Oh Lord, I need Thee. Oh God, I need Thee every hour. I need You every moment, Lord God. I can't think of one second in this world I would want to be left without You, Jesus. I need Your strength. I need Your spirit. I need Your power. I need Your love, Your wisdom. I need Your understanding. I need Your compassion. Hallelujah. Give me everything that pertaineth unto life, Lord Jesus. Is that your prayer tonight? Do you need Jesus? I need Him. I need Him. I need more of Him. I desire more of Jesus. The altars are open tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let's just close our eyes. Let's lift our hands and worship Him. Ask Him to strengthen you tonight. Ask Him to grant the spirit of power to you tonight. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. Ask Him to fill you with the love of God tonight. Ask Him to give you the wisdom tonight that you could walk beyond reproach. Ask Him to grant discernment to you, that you could discern between the voices that speak in your head, that you could discern the voice of God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. If I felt the Spirit of God depart from me for 1 minute, I think I'd go out of my mind. I want more of You, Jesus. I want God to use me, brothers and sisters. Are you desiring God to use you tonight? He wants to use clean vessels, holy vessels, and godly vessels. One that have been purged by the fire of the Holy Ghost and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Though the cross Use me, Lord Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Ask Him to show you what real love is. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost, that you could walk in the divine power of the gospel. Ask Him to cleanse you and remove worldly lust and worldly pride and fleshly ambitions from you. Ask Him to teach you what surrenderance means and submission means. Ask Him what it really means to be led by the Spirit, for you could be numbered as a son of God. Hallelujah. You love the Lord tonight? Are you glad you come to the house of God tonight? Amen. Let's do something for the Lord. Let's get a vision for God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is the time we need to press in harder. Amen. We need to be pressing more. And we need to be pressing more. Young children, this is the time to start pressing more and start pressing more. Amen. You say, man, Brother Rob, it's tough right now, man. Finances, jobs ain't been too good. Well, that's the time to press more and to press more and to press more. Amen. What are you doing with all that time then? Amen. What are you doing with all that time if you ain't working? Amen. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Take your time, your slack time. Do something for the glory of God, and you'll find that when you're out there laboring, He'll bless your time. He'll bless your finances. He'll bless your substance, and He'll open up the floodgates of heaven, and He'll pour them out. Amen. You know why? Because He's an awesome God. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all in love with Jesus? I love the Lord. Amen. I could just stand here all night. We can sing some more, and I can preach some more. You say, I think you'll lose your voice a little bit. Brother Troy was with me. I didn't have no voice, and they grabbed me, and they dragged me right to another church. And man, And I'd start praying. I'd say, God, you send me here to preach the gospel. You're going to have to help me. And I'll tell you what, my voice would come back and I'd scream out like a trumpet, amen. And we'd go through another hour and a half of preaching or so, and I'd be wringing wet. My clothes was wringing wet. My shoes was full of water. And I mean, literally, I don't think you could have sprayed me with a water hose and got me no more wetter than that. You say, what are you saying? I said, man, I want to be spent for Jesus, amen. I want to use my voice up. I want to use my finances up. I want to use my strength up. I want to use my life up, amen. I want to use everything I got for God, amen. When Jesus left this world, He gave every drop and every ounce of blood, amen. And I want to give everything I got for Him, amen, because He did it for me and I love Him, amen.